those random messages that we all get, they're not random.
A fascinating study, and I recommend the book, Everyday Oracles, Decoding the Divine Messages That Are All Around Us, with Ann Vollinger McQuaid.
I discovered that the universe, you know, like gravity, the universe is designed to respond to our needs.
How did you pick the clouds? How did that come to you?
Well, you know, clouds are just so important. I think for all of us, you know, when we're little, I think all of us have looked up the clouds and seen images in them. But, you know, I have a Native American ancestry that I didn't really realize how deeply seated that was in me until, you know, and I always saw the world as alive and got all these wonderful messages. You know, you have a dream and it has significant information, or you have something happening and you realize it's more than a coincidence. So I've always lived that kind of life. But in 86, I had a gut feeling, and that gut feeling said, you go get a mammogram right now. And I listened, thank heaven, and I went and I got a mammogram, and they said, yes, you do have cancer. And so in that time frame, when anybody that's listening that has had a doctor or someone say to them, you have cancer, strikes fear into your being, you know, I really felt like I was looking at my own potential death. And so I was in that fearful state that I was keeping kind of down under. And it was about Christmas time, and my husband and I went to a mall just to pick up some different last minute things. And I'd been in the pet shop a bunch of times just to look at the parrots, and I got that urge again to go look at the parrots. So I ran in, and this time as I walked through the door to the pet shop, I heard these words right outside the left side of my ear. It wasn't in my head, it wasn't a thought. They were words, and they were speaking, and it said, you know I'm going home with you, don't you? And I looked around, and I didn't see anybody, and I thought, well, I didn't think too much about it. I think I kind of let it go, but I found myself walking over to a cage with some golden retriever puppies, and I asked to see this specific one, and I took him into what they call the loving room, and I was hugging him, and family members that were with us went to get my husband, who went, oh, Ann, let me get him for you for Christmas, you know. And I was like, no, I really had a lot of resistance. And I'll jump right to the end of that. I'll shorten it to say that he did get the puppy. I was kind of a little subterfuge with the family, and they got me off in a different direction. He got the puppy. The puppy stayed with us for 11 years, and he was my constant companion, my spirit guide. I mean, if you have an animal, and if you probably speak telepathically, or you connect, you go get their food ready. They know when they don't even see you, you're getting the food ready, and things much bigger than that. So we spoke telepathically for 11 years. When he got cancer and we had to have him put to sleep, and I was laying in bed that night crying, thinking, what am I going to do? You know, he's just been such an important part of my life. And this is the second time and only other time I heard the words right outside my ear again. And I heard that same voice, and he said, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. I could come back if you want me to. And Wendy, that's what started it. I made a deal with him that said, that sounded so strange to me. If it's sounding strange to any of you that are listening, I'd never heard of anything like that. I had always felt like reincarnation was very real. I mean, it always worked for me. But so I decided to try to see how that worked. And it's like the world opened up to me. It's, you know, I started to notice clouds that were teaching me. And this is a whole nother book, so I won't go into it. But the universe opened up to show me the way. And I did reconnect with him in a new puppy body. What I realized through that process is those random messages that we all get, they're not random. I discovered that the universe, you know, like gravity, the universe is designed to respond to our needs. So I really studied it. I started to study ancient wisdom. I started to connect it with the string theory and the quantum universe. And I realized that what happens is when we have a need, the universe is engaged at that moment to respond to your need. So it is engages with a delivery system, and that delivery system delivers a message. The example that I use of that, the story, okay, Rhonda was walking her dogs on her their regular morning walk, and she's walking along, and all of a sudden a hummingbird flies right in front of her eyes and stops and just hovers there, and immediately she knew she was in danger. She started to turn and run for home. She started to hear the word danger, 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 danger. When she gets her little dogs in the house, she looks at her answer phone, and on the answer phone it says, she listens, and her neighbor says, "We have a pack of mad dogs in the neighborhood. Stay inside. They've killed some of our sheep, and they've killed our old dog that sleeps in front of the house." So what happened there, what I've discovered happened there is, you know, there was a need. She was in danger. The universe found a delivery system that she would recognize. You know, I might have ducked under that. I'd like to think I wouldn't, but Rhonda got the hummingbird. When the hummingbird flew right in front of her face, she knew she was in danger. The message was, get safe. So what I'm showing through all these really fun stories and everything else, I'm showing people what the structure is that we're already living in that is so cool. All we have to do is recognize it, and then we get to start working with it.
Well, you start paying attention.
Exactly.
Okay, so the name of your dog?
Rusty. We named him Rusty. And we named him Rusty again when he came back.
Because at the very beginning of the book, you say, thank you for Rusty. And
yes.
Him showing the way and saying, you know. That
exactly.
Kind of...
Rusty, he's like the spirit guide that went ahead to show me that it's safe. Everything's safe, you know. And then in the book or also on my website, I've got pictures. You know, my dad, as he was showing, resonating through cloud forms. And this is, don't anybody that's listening think this is about me. This is not about me. This is about what's around all of us. All the time, all we have to do is notice it.
The picture of your dad at the end of the book is brilliant because that gives people a way of seeing how this image resonated, how it made sense for you, why you had it in your mind. And so you already had that blueprint there. So when you see it, it makes perfect sense. To somebody else, that might not connect, but it's your image. It's your energy. And so that was
immediate. That's why I coined the term personal oracles. To define this system that I'm talking about, which is the need, the delivery system, the message, is a personal oracle, different from oracle, more specific than, you know, if you say the word oracle, we might think about, you know, all the oracles of the past or one person who's very wise. But personal oracles are, you know, I'm talking about the system of the universe that is designed to support our needs. And it's just really comes through, you know, I love clouds because clouds are fun and they're easy and they're available a lot of the times. But they'll come through radio, you know, messages on the radio. They, you know, a song that plays at the exact time someone dies. The universe is going to find a way that will resonate with you, and the universe will speak to you in that way.
You have a prayer that you use, and this is for somebody who needs an affirmation or an opening or a connection. It's the one that's called A Path to the Mystery. And when you talk about, you know, connecting with your father, you were chanting this kind of a mantra, sing song.
Oh,
and that's
it's
brilliant.
It's a labyrinth song. I'd love to sing it right now because I would love to. Yeah, I'd like to kind of throw it out there for it to, you know how we get a little song that runs around in our mind? And
yes.
So it's the tune and the words, and it's, I walk the path of the mystery, and as I walk it's revealed to me, the truth, the deep, the way. I trust the path of the mystery, that as I walk it's revealed to me, the truth, the deep, the way. And then it goes, hey-ya, 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 ho. Hey-ya, 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 ho. Hey-ya, hey-ya, hey-o. Show me the way through the mystery. Transmute my darkness, help me see the truth, the deep, the way. Great mother of the mystery, bless my soul, illumine me to the truth, the deep, the way. And then I guess you should say, let's all sing, hey-ya, hey-ya, hey-ya. And then, you know, then it's that wonderful chant again.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Isn't it
just
good?
Gives me goosebumps. See, that's an intent. It's set right there for anyone who's listening. It gives us a connection and a way to integrate and bring into the manifest plane a way of seeing. And it just happened with you singing a song and striking the chords and calling everyone to present. Everyday Oracles is the book decoding the divine messages that are all around us. Wendy's Coffee House, Anne Vollinger McQuaid, Everyday Oracles. What is it about chanting that makes it an oracle?
When you chant, you are, as you said, setting your intention. You're chanting. Chanting changes the whole vibrational level. We get sound in there. Sound travels on another vibrational level. You know, it's heady and exciting when we realize all of these different threads of interconnection that are connecting and supporting us and weaving through. It's like we're in this great, wonderful, luminescent ball that is supporting us in ways that we do understand, in ways that we don't. And then they just illuminate through personal oracles. The personal oracle will let you glimpse, oh, that's what's, you know, oh, it's coming. You know, the conduit, the radio is working as a conduit. Or what I just saw in a cloud or a stone or something, that's mirroring information back to me. Or I've got a something that looks like a coincidence. That couldn't be a coincidence. There's too much purpose behind it. And, you know, Jung is the one who said synchronicities are coincidences with a purpose, you know. Or, you know, you see the signs and symbols. I've tried to take it out of the hocus pocus. You know, sometimes when we read metaphysical things, they sound like the shamans are doing it, or you have to meditate to be so pure to do it. You know, it's out there for all of us, and it's plain and it's simple. And the more we realize how it's speaking directly to us, and, you know, stay in your own truth, you know, great. Do share with people. Oh, that's key. But trust your own knowing, you know, and you don't have to be, you know, someone who commits all their life to this work. It's a part of your life. All you have to pay is attention.
Absolutely. That's the thing. The more you learn, the better you get at that. And,
yep,
and this kind of intuiting way, it doesn't mean you're exempt from making mistakes and being dumb every now and then, or, you know, more frequently than you would like.
Well, and who doesn't? You know, I think that's something we should just try to, this is terrible, take over to the toilet and flush it down it and go, this whole idea of being perfect, or this whole idea of always getting everything right. You know, I think if we really look at our life, some of the times that I really looked like things weren't going good, or you know, maybe it was a mistake. This book is one of those things. The way this book has come out, I tried to force this book into many other forms, and it would not force into that form because this is the form it was supposed to be in. So I think that we don't be so hard on ourselves and realize that life's a process, and you know, what looks like a mistake later on may not be a mistake.
Yeah, and see, that's the frustration of thinking it has to be a certain way because that's the way it has been programmed or modeled by everybody else. So we only do it that way because that's the winning way. And then you realize yours wasn't supposed to be on that path because there's a whole different direction for it. And it may not come into your awareness until, you know, 15, 20 years later of why that was the best thing at the time.
Well, and you know, there's a commercial I used to just love, and I guess you have to be a certain age to remember, but it was a Campbell's soup commercial, and the kids kept going in and going, is it soup? Is it soup? Is the soup ready? And the mother said, it's not soup yet. You know, that just seems to me like life. You know, so many times when we try to force something, and it isn't time yet, it's not soup yet. You know, all of the players aren't there, all of the pieces aren't in order. You know, we think that we have a timeline. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we really are off on that.
Yes. Yeah. I tell you what, in terms of writing a book and stuff like that, I had my information and my stuff that came to me, and it was incredible. It was brilliant. It's still going on. And I wrote a book about it. It's not a perfect book. It's a little book. It's just a story, and it's incredible. But you know what? I wasn't ready to really talk about it, or I didn't fully understand it, nor was I ready to be able to try and share it at the time I was writing it, because it was still way too personal. And I still had tons of stuff to learn to integrate it. And that was a big revelation in itself that, oh my gosh, the book's ready, but I'm not.
Well, and Yes, and you're not, and then as you get ready, the book's more, the books would be, you know, maybe that book will get, maybe you'll write that book again, and maybe you'll write that, you'll write it maybe with a different title in a new way, but you'll be able to pour in it all of that information that you have now, and that doesn't, I think that's just a beautiful idea.
Yes, that is such a wonderful piece of the puzzle, that just because you do something once doesn't mean you're done with it. It may take several times. It's that spiral thing. I had this bookmark because this is brilliant. The guy who does the cloud seeding, the oracle that he got when he was doing the clouds, this is so profound and so illustrative of a way of giving people information that says this is really, really powerful stuff you're messing with, okay? Can you share that story?
It is a great story, and I happen to have met this man, and he owned a whole bunch of land, and he was actually on the border between Arizona and someplace else. So it was just so dry, and they really needed rain, and he had an airplane, and he decided that he wanted to go seed some clouds and get some rain. And so he happened upon some men, and they were in a hangar, and they were talking about how to seed clouds. And it is illegal, I'm almost positive, by reading this story. But they told him exactly how to do it, and there is a real physical process that I'd have to look this up. But you have certain, I guess it's chemicals maybe, that you put up into the clouds. So he had been doing that, I think, if I remember, he did it like for a year, and he was getting, his land was rich, and I mean, it was just really thriving. And one day he was going to go up and do it, and he got this message that said, don't seed today. And he tried to ignore that message, and it came and it said, do not seed today. And he was going to do it anyway, because you know how it was, like, I wasn't going to get rusty. And it came and it said, don't do it. And so finally, something backed him off. And later that day, there was a natural huge storm that caused a lot of flooding and some real disaster. And had he seeded, he would have caused even more disaster. He realized that if I remember it right, I need to reread again. I think he was told, don't mess with nature. And this brings up something I don't talk about in the book, but it's something that, this is just very personal with me, so if you disagree with me, good for you, you know, and that is, I support your belief. But I don't like to manipulate the universe to get I like to interpret what the universe is getting me. But I was reading something the other day about manipulating clouds and causing it to do a certain thing. And that's fine if somebody wants to do that. But there's a purity to me. You know, I do have a Native American spirit. And, you know, there is that purity of a spirit that I like to let the universe teach me. And that is kind of what was going on with him. Don't mess with it. There's an agenda out there, and you don't know that agenda. Do you really want to take that responsibility on? Because it could have caused loss of life.
I think this causes us to, you know, reflect and say there is a greater purpose and a higher power. And when I put the bookmark in here, I've got Stuart Pierce's cards and their oracle cards, Angels of Atlantis, and I picked one and I put it there. And I realized when I was going back to figure out what it was, it has the I Am presence, Michael. Oh. And I thought, this is so perfect for the energy that is working through this particular, you know, this incident. That presence is saying, I am here, and maybe you need to listen. You don't have to. Your results will be what they are, but you can avoid this if you listen. And that's what some of these things are. I've had those voices. They're right beside you. They're out loud. They're saying, run. You know, they're there. And when we need them, they don't interfere.
Exactly. Dreams will do that sometimes. I think sometimes people are afraid of, oh gosh, what if I have a bad dream, or what if I have a prophetic dream? You know, I share a dream in there that is very powerful, and it's about a little boy who wakes up. He's like four or five, and he wakes up screaming, Daddy's dead, Daddy's dead, Daddy's dead. And the parents get him and they bring him into bed, and he just won't get calm again. And he's got, there are five children in the family. So in the morning, the mother and the father decide, you know, the little guy is just really upset, and they both have jobs. So they decided the mother would take the other children to school because they were older. And the father called into the office, and he goes, you know what, I'll be a little late for my meeting this morning. I'm going to take my son into preschool and get him settled down. So he takes him into preschool and he talks to the teacher, and the little boy calms down enough. The dad gets in the car, and there's a message when he gets in the car on his cell phone, and he picks it up and it says, "Don't go into the city. Don't go into the city. Please call me. Please call me. Tell me where you are." He was supposed to be in the building at 9/11. This little boy was going through like a crinkle in time. He saw the potential for what could happen to his dad. And by having that little crinkle in time, when he saw that, they just played it out the right way. You know, they took care of that child. And by taking care of the child, the father's alive.
When we come back, we're going to play with some clouds, everyday oracles. Wendy's Coffee House, Ann Bollinger McQuaid, Everyday Oracles. Here we go with the clouds. Playing with this on your website, the first thing I got was a little cloud formation. And what I see in it is Dumbo. He's so cute. He's so
cute. What number are you on? Do you want to tell people? Wait, do they know the website?
Oraclesinthesky.com. What I did after I found Dumbo, because I didn't need to go any further.
I love it.
I looked for elephant power animal. So I went to shamanicjourney.com because Ted Andrews, I've also worked for like 20 years or so.
Oh, I love Ted Andrews. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The elephant medicine is what this represents to me. But it also brings in, because it's Dumbo, that creation, that what we are constantly doing with our imagination, we're either downgrading or upgrading. And so I put it into a joyful message for me, because that tends to be the way I look at the world, is, you know, with the whimsy. But for the shamanic part of that, it goes into this whole thing that elephants teach about gentleness, commitment, communication, keeping relationships, trusting and loving. This is from the site, not my words. And they teach us how we can use our love, joy, jealousy, rage. They have all of these emotions that we have. So these kinds of things, they also talk about elephants that communicate telepathically with herd members as well as other elephants. And so we're developing our ability to understand and communicate in a way that transcends speech. And whenever I've had a divine communication or a dream that spoke to me, it was amazing. The words were unnecessary because I got the information, and I cannot describe or explain, but I got volumes with just a look or a touch or an intent of emotion. It was like, oh, wow, how is that? Is it already in me that they're just pulling it out?
Yeah.
And so that's a way of being more in tuned to your environment, and then sharing, because it's also about nurturing and sending this information out. So there in Dumbo, that little teeny tiny innocuous comical cartoon is my message. Does that make sense?
Yes. And, you know, I want to just knock your socks off right now, because I just happen to know you have something even bigger than what I think, what you have, that's so powerful. I ran and grabbed Animal Speak by Ted Andrews because I had a story I won't go into right now. It's too lengthy, but I had looked up elephants, and you know me and clouds, and I went to page 268 in Ted Andrews' Animal Speak and listened to what this is saying directly to you, Wendy. Because of their size, color, and shape, elephants and clouds have been linked together. They were seen as symbols of clouds, and many believe that elephants created the clouds. Those with an elephant totem should study the symbolism and significance of clouds. In general, they're symbols of the mist that separates the formed worlds from the unformed, which to me is putting into words a little bit of what you were saying, the unformed words instead of world. But you know how you were saying, it was almost like you get a download of information that you can't put into words, but there it is. You know, the interconnections are exciting. You know, all the things that you read, and then you keep going with whatever, like your Dumbo. And, you know, you didn't just stop at Dumbo. You went deeper into elephant, and then all of the beautiful information that relates to what's going on in your life right now.
We all have these wonderful characters, these wonderful roles that we each can learn from. And these kinds of oracles and messages and cues, if we learn to just let that help us, we can explore.
There's a certain safety within this three-dimensional world. It's, I think, it's a false security in a way for me personally, because you and I are so on the same give me more path. You know, there's so much beauty out there. But I was at a book signing the other day, and this man, Daniel, said, We've been talking about kind of what we're talking about now, about whether to step out, whether or not, you know, how far do you go out of your three-dimensional world? You know, where is it safe? And he said he had two little dogs, and recently they have a doggy door, and the door had been left open. And the dogs had been used to going in and out the door. So the door's open. One dog walks back in the house through the big open door. The other little dog would not go through that big door. So he walked in. He'll walk through to close the door to get the puppy back in the house through the dog door. And you know what? That's fine, because I believe we all come to that wider. If we do, I do believe that the comfort, whatever it is that challenges us, whether it's a diagnosis of an illness that scares us, you know, goes, hey, check it out, you know, there's more, you know, whatever it is that is that path, whether somebody else has the coolest thing happen to them and you go, wait, I can't believe I'm not having those kind of, why am I blocking? Whatever it is, who cares? The trick is to get, you know, one of the things I love to say, you know, there was a time people used to think the world was flat. There really was. Remember back, there was a time when they believed the world was flat. It's like that with our three-dimensional world. We're in such a multidimensional world when we realize how safe it is to venture out into it. It's so fun, as you know, Wendy.
At the back of the book, you include several ways to help, you know, people tune in, and the water meditation, air meditation, working with the natural, with natural elements. It's everywhere, using mantras, fire gazing. I remember I did this with a candle, and not only gazing, but realized I could put my energy into it and make the flame go up if I wanted to.
To me, the exciting thing right there that you said is, there's proof right there of that interconnection. I get real heady, as you can tell, with the whole idea of getting to see these interconnections become illuminated. Like, oh gosh, don't you love the way Freud did that? Illuminated like the cloud with the candle. But, you know, when you see something that proves that you have just connected to that other dimension, I think that's so exciting.
There has to be a space. You have to have time. You have to have interest, intent, and willingness to depart from the normal routine to say, what if I take time out and try meditating or try not thinking?
Well, that's tricky, isn't it? Because the monkey mind goes...
And then where does the time go? All of a sudden, I'm not thinking, and yet I was thinking the entire time, hoping not thinking would work, and it just didn't happen.
Trying to think I wasn't thinking. Well, you know, something that I really am trying to encourage people to do, you know, so easy to let these things go by that are happening all the time. I'm trying to interest people in collecting their own body of evidence and starting to write things down. See, it's something as simple as you're driving in traffic, and all of a sudden you sense that the person in the next lane is going to pull in front of you, and they do, but you sense that, and you didn't bump into them. It's as simple as that. You know, when we have these everyday things that are going on, write them down. If you have a gut feeling that you should do something and you follow it and it works, write it down. If you have a gut feeling to do something and you don't do it, there's an example I love to use about the man who has the sunglasses. This is true. And he's got his sunglasses on his, you know, those glasses cases that are on your belt that, and you slide your sunglasses in. And his gut said, that's not a good place for these. 5 minutes later, they were gone and they were expensive and they were his favorite. Write it down. That's just as much proof. And don't beat yourself, and be real careful not to beat yourself up, because we all, like we were saying early on, we all do that. But if you start writing these things down, the teeny little ones, not the great, I mean, write the big ones like Dumbo and all that you learned from that, but anything you get that is worth writing down. And you don't have to worry about doing a journal and making it all. Write on a piece of paper, put that piece of paper in a drawer. I like to talk about putting a shoebox. Just put it anywhere that it's all together, and then rummage through it. You will blow your own mind.
For years, I've done the, you know, writing on bits of paper, writing on napkins, writing on postcards. And it's just a fun thing, because whatever speaks to me at the time will be in a particular journal, but it's not linear. And it's good luck if you can try to make sense of it, because I certainly didn't want it to be made sense of, just in case I needed anything that, you know, would upset anybody. They wouldn't find it immediately. They'd be buried.
I love the subterfuge in that.
Thank you. We have to get some more stories in here. Wendy's Coffee House and Bollinger McQuaid, Everyday Oracles. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, my guest, Anne Bollinger McQuaid. The book, Everyday Oracles, Decoding the Divine Messages That Are All Around Us. Website, oraclesinthesky.com.
Sometimes you'll run across your own words, and they speak to you again new in a way you really need to hear right now. And, you know, like if you're rummaging or just not rummaging, you open to something. I've had this happen before where I opened to something and I went, I could not have planned that to happen so beautifully. Like you open something that you wrote and it validates what's going on that day.
Here's another story, because I thought this was so powerful and so profound. When you were talking about the lady who was the reporter, and they did the show 2020, you were watching about the animal, because animals are so powerful, and they're very, very, they are star players in our reality, and we don't often make that connection. They are here not for us to subjugate, but really to help teach us about a different way of being and seeing. And this is another beautiful story about what the animal in this particular story had to share.
That's the 2020 reporter. Her name's Kimberly Lawner. And, you know, ABC was gracious enough to let me use this for the book because they own the rights to this. But Kimberly Lawner had found out about a man who had been over in a soldier in Afghanistan, and he and his troop had, he and his buddies that he was with had found some little puppies one night. And so they'd taken them home and they had their own puppies. So he slept with this puppy and the next day he was killed. And the family found out about that and they wanted that puppy as just, you know, to have a sense of that closeness with their son in the last night he was alive. So they managed to get the puppy. I don't know how, and it doesn't matter, but they managed to get the puppy. Kimberly Lawner found out about this story, so she wanted to go interview the father and mother and, you know, see the dog. So she's out there, and they're doing this 2020 interview. And as they're doing the interview, they glance over, and you'll see this in the book. There is this ray of sunshine that is just focused down on this dog, and they started to jump around and go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, and everybody was interpreting it, of course, their own way. He was there. He was showing that he, you know, whatever it was a clear sign from the sun that he was with them that day, and that I think is just beautiful example of how we can connect through the dimensions. And I was on another interview and someone said, look through, because I was saying, it's just the most amazing ray. And if any of you are interested in orbs, the host of the show that I was on said, look in the middle of the conduit of the rays coming down. You'll see a series of tiny little orbs and you can, you know, interpret that however. But this is all over. You were talking about animals. We were talking about Rusty in the beginning. There's a quote from a Native American, Chief Lakota Leti, I think is his name, and it is, in the beginning of all things, wisdom and knowledge were with the animals. For Tiwa, the one above, did not speak directly to man. He sent animals to tell man that he showed himself through the beasts, and that from them and from the stars, the sun, and the moon, man should learn, for all things speak of Tiwa. So, you know, if you believe that, and that really resonates to me, that animals are very high spirits that have come here to show us the way.
I believe it. That's page 77. Okay,
oh,
page
77.
But the thing with me is I've had experience as my animals have made their transitions.
Yes.
And they're very powerful. I mean, one, which is I included in the book that I talk about, I was grieving for a year, and then I had this amazing transcendent experience that let me know that wasn't helping. The grief was kind of keeping him and me stuck. Another one, when he died and we had to, well, there were several experiences, but this is the one that he kind of let me know that he couldn't play anymore and he wanted to go with dignity. And so he asked me to help, which isn't always the case. I don't like that. But anyway, so when he died, I held him close and I said, please, 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 you have to let me know you're going to be okay. And I felt him, this huge burst of energy went through because I was hugging him and holding him tight, hugging him and holding him tight. And he burst through and then he went to my mom's house first because she helped me bury him. And, he barked and her two cats came indoors because they heard this dog barking. Then like a couple minutes later, she the bark was outside her bedroom door inside the house. And so he let her know that he was okay. And he came back and for 2 weeks he barked outside the door, and I thought my other dog had learned how to bark. But she always scratches and she always makes a different kind of noise. If she barks, it's something else not to let in. It's like, oh, I didn't make that noise. I'm sorry. Whoops. No. I did not mean. And then the other one that was so profound, my cat told me to leave because I was making it more difficult because he wanted an awakened transition. So I had to go. I left the house and I'm crying. I'm like, this is not fair. But he had given me this very clear sign, go away. And when I came back home, I found him and I picked him up and I said, you can't, just one sign, just let me know. One more breath. And my guides, you know what I hear, they said, now you see why you had to leave. But he wanted to show me an awakened transition, how you just step out of it and you're still here. And he was not gone. He just dropped the bones.
Dropped his vehicle, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a way of, they show us if we pay attention.
What book is that in?
Talking to Night Lights. I didn't share the others. They have been part of my life since then. It's just an amazing, well, they talked about, you know, how he wasn't dead, that life goes on. And, but I was grieving and I hadn't let go. And that was the point of this guidance that came with this nightlight information, was all a part of energy of who we are. And we have more than this physical form. We don't just have a body. We have a soul, a spirit, and an energy that is timeless. And that's what your way of all these information, the pieces that are in your book, help people connect their dots. And that's what I love about it. It's a tangible book. You can open it up, turn it to what you need. It'll be there. And the stories are all about real life, people who've paid attention and how it pays off. That's what
I love. And you know, I had a review and I don't remember who it's from, but it was my favorite one because it talked about, this book is written in very, and I may have said something kind of like this in the beginning, I guess I find myself saying this again, it's in very simple language. You know, let's all just talk and let's just all use the language you use. So there aren't words in there. If there's any word in there that you don't know, like clairvoyant, there's one little section in there that's thoroughly explained. So, you know, I try to take the mystery out of what's just the practical world that looks incredibly exciting and mysterious, but there is that solid base under it.
Well, and there are ways that you can solve, like the one when the doctor goes in and he had this experience on the way to perform the operation. And this is the one about the rabbit.
Favorite one. And that I like to use that as an example of an invisible moving sidewalk, which is like when I found Rusty and he ended up being my guide that showed me a bigger part of life. Dr. Hamilton, who also has a book called The Scalpel and the Soul, is a neurosurgeon in Tucson, Arizona, and he's with the U of A Medical Center where Gabrielle Gifford went. I think we all know about her. And so he was driving in one day from outside of Tucson to do neurosurgery on a man early in the morning. And as he drove along, he saw a rabbit alongside the road, and he saw buzzards feeding on the carcass of the rabbit. And he took note of it and drove on in and got everything ready, talked to the man, was leaving the man with his wife, and was just about to walk out the door when he heard the wife leaned over her husband and kissed him on the head and said, "See you later, bunny." And he canceled the surgery. Based on that, he canceled the surgery, and the man had a heart attack during the time period he would have been having brain surgery, and the man lived. Now, I'm in awe of any of us, and especially someone who is so grounded in science like that, to have gone through so much that he was that sure that that was a clear message to him that was being sent to him by the universe.
I love it. There are some beautiful stories in this book. Page 181 is one of my favorites. I'm going to end with this one. The deal is she lost her partner and they have a recorder running. And there was something about, if you wanted to tell him something, what would you say? And didn't know what to say. And they said, well, just tell him you love him. So she did. And it's on the recorder. And then they play it back. And the voice in the background, when she says, "Of course I love him," the voice says, "I love you." And it's her partner's voice. Everyday oracles. There's a lot in here on how you can learn to discern your own oracles, what something is that has meaning to you. Ann Baldinger McQuaid, again, this interview was from the archives. It just seemed relevant to play it now. Thank you for listening. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio.